Andrew, these chronovisors, how do they work?
Well, when I entered the program in the late 1960s, clearly the rudimentary chronovisor that Ernetti and Gemelli had developed had been evolved. I remember my late father, Raymond Bushaga, who was one of the project principals, stated that the Vatican had approached the United States government about taking the technology further. So when I entered the program officially in the fall of 1969, the chronovisor had already been developed into a device that generates a hologram of a past or future event. And as it was explained to me, that was done by driving an electromagnetic signal through an octagonal, that is an eight-sided array of bismuth crystals. This produced a hologram of light particles so dense that the device had a lensing effect, whereby timelines that are adjacent to our own are brought into the laboratory. And so you had this cubical hologram being generated on a stage-like device with a crystal array in the ceiling. In fact, a crystal array so bright that we went through a training exercise to avoid looking up at it, because if we did, we would be rendered blind.
Jeez.
So this was an intense light that was being generated, an extremely dense hologram. It produced an array and a depth of color that I've never seen in a motion picture, for example. Now, in front of the stage, there was a control panel, but what was most conspicuous was that there were two boom operators who were moving forward and back and also up and down, directing some form of particles across the hologram. In other words, they were operating booms that were emitting some kind of stream of particles by which they could fix the time and space coordinate of the hologram.
Well, they were like sprinkling them down on them like snowflakes? Or
No, these were devices that looked almost like studio television cameras. I couldn't see what they were directing at the hologram, but it was explained to me that they were emitting something that allowed them to generate not just a random concatenation of, let's say, images from different past events, but literally tune in the time-space coordinate of what the hologram was imaging, let's say the signing of the Constitution. So, for example, when those operators stepped down from their boom devices, the hologram just started randomly moving between alternate scenes, just basically a chaos of quickly changing scenes from different periods of time.
And probably some might not have been all historical. They could have just been events from a certain era.
Oh no, and this goes to the sanctity, in fact, of our private lives. I'm alleging that DARPA has this technology. In fact, since the days of Project Pegasus, when they were generating holograms, it's probably been digitized into a turnkey surveillance system, such as is depicted in the feature film Deja Vu, because now we have computer technology to quickly bring up images, still photographs, and also moving images on our computer consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So then in the laboratory, when they were first experimenting with chronovision, they clearly wanted to generate holograms so that you could get a better look at what was going on. But if you stood inside the hologram, you actually experienced being in that past event. But yes, many of the things that I witnessed, in fact, many of the events that I visited inside the hologram were absolutely mundane moments in time. But those moments are sacred. They make up our lives. And I think that the American public deserves to know that this has been done with their tax dollars, and that the remote surveillance technology that DARPA has developed goes far beyond just filming people on the street and using a computer to go through and make sense of the images and determine who's a terrorist or whatever. It, in fact, involves the ability to invade the sanctity of everybody's past and future.
What would the purpose be to do this?
Well, maybe it hasn't been done. But if we look at the fact that really since 9/11, we've seen the emergence of a police state in this country, my concern is that because the U.S. government is secretly in possession of this technology, if we took an even further turn for the worse in terms of the government tyranny that we've seen, we would all find ourselves living in a 24-hour surveillance state, at least potentially.
And then
there are all the complications of things like criminal law enforcement, as was depicted in the film Minority Report. Would we actually develop a Bureau of Pre-Crimes if we knew someone was destined to commit a crime in the future. These are some of the philosophical complications. But I'm most concerned about the impact of this technology on our privacy.
Would we even be aware that we were being spied on or checked on?
No. No, the technology does this absolutely non-locally and without any apparent signal in the environment.
What about the future now? Let's talk about that. What, as far as you know, where have they gone? What have they seen?
Well, I was actually a direct participant when they were trying to use Chronovision to capture images from the future, and they had a specific research purpose. We were trained utilizing essentially a time spacesuit, not unlike a spacesuit, a NASA spacesuit, that was coated with titanium. And we also participated in some exercises in perception, in how to quickly, for example, look to the left and right and make sense of something very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because on November 5th of 1971, they brought about eight of us up to the ITT Defense Communications Building in Nutley, New Jersey, which then and now is immediately adjacent to the Defense Logistics Agency, which does the mapping of future threats for the U.S. military. And at that location, there was a much larger chronovisor. The stage was larger, the crystal array above us, the intensity of the hologram that it generated, hence the need for the protective suits. And that was the first attempt to use Chronovision to go forward in time and image an event that could then be made sense of in terms of human perception and cognition.
Was it easier to go back in time as opposed to forward?
It was in the sense that it had first been developed as a device that produced images of past events.
Okay.
I guess the benefit or the technical complication there is that we have the residual signal of a past event that's cascading through the time-space continuum forever. But in the case of a future event, they clearly had to make a modification, an advancement, to capture the incipient potential of a future event, which they ultimately achieved. Because what we saw when they turned that light on, and I remember beginning to intensely perspire in that suit, we went forward for about a half hour through cloud after cloud of interstellar gas-like material, what I call the quantum plenum. And the forward momentum, as we had been trained, the forward momentum stopped, and we were looking at the U.S. Supreme Court building, as we would later learn when we asked some of the program facilitators, some of the team leaders, in the year 2013. And then we quickly looked at it, tried to determine what was going on at that location, at the target, as it were, and then we were pulled back for another half hour. It was a pretty harrowing time probe. And I was taken off the stage. The suit was removed. I remember my boots were poured out. I don't know whether it was perspiration or water, because what they had done is they had placed us about 100 feet over the U.S. Supreme Court building on the Mall in Washington, D.C. in the year 2013. And at least on that timeline, it was underwater. But I must stress that the chronovisors were known to be capturing the residual signals of past events on multiple timelines. So I don't think that probe is determinative of that there will be a catastrophe, for example, in 2012 that will render the East Coast inundated by 2013.
Well, they mixed it together or what? Were the timelines mixed together?
Well, they were mixed together at the level of our experience, in the sense that we were being sent, for the most part, backward in time and witnessing a specific event. And we really didn't know whether we were looking at the chronovisor actually inside the hologram. We did not know whether, in fact, that was determinative of a particular past. And certainly in that case, here we are, it's 2011. There could certainly be a catastrophe in 2012 that would create those kinds of conditions. But then again, some of the main causes, like global warming, clearly won't produce that by 2013. I'm speaking out because, you know, some of this intelligence that was derived from these kinds of probes clearly has been used for contingency planning of a very expensive nature by the U.S. government. We have secretly spent trillions of dollars building a continuity of government hub in the American Southwest, in the Four Corners area. And I hasten to add that contingency planning may have been for future events that never occur.